Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to Men in Orange Mini Talk on Log Horizon Season 2 for Episodes 5 through 7. I'm Jero, joined by Foshizzle.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And it has been a while since we've done a Log Horizon Mini Talk. Sorry about that. A lot of gaming, a lot of other stuff going on, but we are here talking about 3 episodes worth of action from Log Horizon. And instead of going through each episode as we typically do on a weekly basis, we're just going to kind of take away the key points from these 3 episodes and talk about them. We'll get started with Akatsuki, who gets some much-needed development over these past 3 episodes. We see a lot of her sort of befriending Lanessia and trying to find a reason to fight, and she actually fights against this Enhart guy, Santa, as we kind of remembered him from episode 4 or so. But now we get to see her in a scene with Shirare where we see that Shirare has and his team have failed the raid and they're dead. We saw this back in episode 1, and so Akatsuki got some much needed growth.
Right, I would say I'll agree on that. I mean, in season 1 she was kind of in the background, just, you know, part of the cast but not really involved much. Now, you know, these 3 episodes gives her a little more development. Not so much like action stuff for her, but a lot of emotional stuff for her to go through. Which, you know, you wouldn't think she'd be an emotional character, but I mean, there's more to her than just a flashy ninja and being a cute mascot. She's, you know, like you said, she is struggling with the thought of, you know, where do I fit in this world? You know, I want to fight, but, you know, right now she's stuck as a bodyguard. She doesn't like that. So it's like she wants to do more than just that.
And we see a slight bit of a training montage, but it's not in the traditional shonen thing where she's learning an ability and improving it. It's interesting how they talk about the teachings, and we saw this with Sojiro in that fight where he talked about the teachings, and people don't seem to really know how to explain it or teach it to her.
Right, it's basically just like, I would take it as like tips and tricks, basically. Like, you know, reading a walkthrough saying, oh, you can go to path A or path B. Go to B, it's easier, you know. Just learning a shortcut, I think, is what she's trying to learn. Developing a new skill. And it almost kind of, you don't get to learn much from the teachings. It sounds kind of funny saying that, but I didn't really learn a lot from that. I mean, I don't think Akatsuki learned too much either. But she learned that, you know, she can use her size to her advantage. That was one thing she learned. And I guess she needs to learn how to do more tactics and be sneaky. I mean, she's a ninja and all, but she doesn't really, I don't think, maybe mastered the ninja skill, I guess.
I mentioned Sojiro. We see him. We've known him to be the guy walking around, and all the girls are surrounding him, and things are good. But now with that one girl that died and was revived, that he's not too happy right now. And we see him for a majority of the episode with a very angry face, and we get to see a little bit of him in samurai action. But he fails to defeat Enhart and dies.
I'll say he's a pretty badass character. He's, especially when he's mad. And I think some of the girls even say that to him, that when he's mad, he's not, you don't want to really talk to him. Because he's, you know, I guess if someone hurts one of his people in his guild, he's very, takes it out on them. You know, it's like he's very, very motivated by revenge, I guess. But, I mean, it fits, even though it's a little out of character, because like you said, we've seen him kind of always smiling and hanging on the girls. So I guess it shows you. Season 2 is maybe more, I would say, a little darker for certain characters, maybe.
Yeah, and we should talk about Enhart real quick. We actually see him in an early episode. It looks like he is polishing off the Royal Guard that we see. There's like a scene where Naotsuku and Henrietta are talking, and we see the Royal Guard like down a hallway. But it turns out that he's an NPC, and that he got this sword from the same vendor that Akatsuki was looking at, and that's what's kind of put him in this position. And Lanessia talks with the guy from the Kuni clan and kind of not really wanting to take responsibility for it, is kind of giving the scenarios to Lanessia that aren't the most desirable, including taking a magic barrier down that would allow monsters to come in but would stop Enhart.
Right, because his armor is controlled by the the magic circle under the city. And that armor gives him the ability to teleport anywhere in the city, because, as they mentioned, like in season 1 and part of season 2, that these armors only appear if you fight in the city, which I guess recently they haven't been working because, you know, obviously the game is different than it used to be. So the armory is, you know, part of the problem with this NPC at the Ironheart, and the weapon he also gets is also, you know, the big thing with the flavor text, which is basically a special item. It tells you like a story behind a weapon that this belonged to so and so, and it's lore based, and there's something with those with that going on too.
Yeah, what's happening there is that it's becoming real. And that means all those little stories that you hear, which are just, again, flavor text for the game, are actually happening in this world. The world is actually expanding as these players are stuck in the game. And there's actually, a thing about gender swapped players. They're sort of becoming more like the bodies that they actually have.
Right, yeah, I remember hearing about that. You know, it's kind of interesting. And with Ironheart, he's got the weapon that apparently was possessed by, I guess, some kind of demon or some kind of guy that went on a killing spree, and that's what he's doing now. So he's fulfilling the weapon's desire to kill, and it's corrupting him. So basically, he has no control over his actions. And it almost, like you said, expanding, but it also feels like maybe the game's falling apart. I mean, there's a couple of scenes that I've noticed with Cressy. We'll talk about him in a minute, but where he's walking and like the ground behind him is like red, and these flakes are flying in the sky, like floating off the ground. So it makes me think maybe the game is falling apart, you know, because certain games need updates weekly, you know, you need a patch. And this game hasn't been patched in I don't know how long, so it's like I would see the game maybe is falling apart as well as maybe expanding.
And to get to Krusty, we see a scene where his I'm forgetting the name of his sort of vice captain, I guess you could call her.
Yeah, I call her either a secretary type character.
Where she notices her weapon is kind of making this weird, there's this weird thing going on with her weapon. And at first she does the thing that you shouldn't do, which is just, it's okay, it's fine, it still works. Where we see all of a sudden there's this like this red sort of circle that kind of wraps around her and is binding her, and then Krusty pushes her out and gets stuck in, and all of a sudden Krusty disappears, so we have yet to know where he's at.
Yeah, it was kind of a brutal scene because even before that, his secretary's got her hand sliced off by her weapon, and you know it's not returning back to normal like it used to, and there's a lot of red, so it almost implies that this might be the first actual death in the Log Horizon. But also, we don't know what the weapon is. Maybe it could have sent him somewhere far away, for all they know, which I wouldn't be surprised. But if they did kill him off, I mean, it would be kind of sad because you know Lunesia is kind of developing a relationship with him, so it's like. But also, it would be kind of, you know, interesting if they did kill someone off to tell you that there is death in this game, but certain ways of dying. It's not typical, like, you know, get killed by a monster. You know, this is actually weapons that are doing it now.
And for right now, nobody's gonna tell her Krusty's missing
Right,
because
yeah.
that would set her off.
Oh, definitely.
And then Episode 7, for the most part, the title was about the maidens of Watermaple, and they're kind of in a bit of a raid of their own in a way. They're all working to go up against the Enheart, and we see the start of that battle, and we see basically it's a bunch of girl characters going up against him.
Yeah, I think that's kind of refreshing to see just the different side of Log Horizon. We see, you know, most of the guys doing all the work, you know, and the girls kind of there off the side assisting and helping. But seeing them actually lead their own raid while Shiro's doing his raid, kind of impressive to me. I mean, it's like these girls, you know, they don't really know each other too well. They're most of them are friends. Some of them are not. Like Akatsuki struggled with that idea for a long time that she didn't know what, you know, these people were to her, friends or just people she knew. But seeing them all get together and work to take on this guy is pretty interesting. And also Akatsuki asking for help. You know, she's kind of, the character doesn't, you wouldn't think would be asking for help. She's very prideful, so she doesn't want to, you know, rely on someone else. But this time she actually kind of sucks it up and just says, well, I'm going to ask for help and get this done. It's kind of nice to see her.
And this is the first time that I can think of in the series where we've seen Marie actually fight. She's with Akatsuki there at the end, and we're gonna get to see what she can do in battle.
But yeah, I'm interested in that, see what she can do. Because, like you said, we haven't really seen her fight. I mean, we've seen her, I think in season 1, do some kind of spell, but we didn't see her actually do anything much besides, run away with the kids because they're talking about those fish. But yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Party and all that stuff.
Right, yeah.
Anything else to mention from this episode, from these episodes?
Nothing really. I mean, there was a scene with Nyato was figuring something out, but I'll talk about that before. I think it's for the guild. I'm just kind of interested or anxious to see Shiro if he comes back, because I know Akatsuki and him had that nice moment in episode, I think it was 4, where they're both dead and they kind of had a chance to talk to each other for a bit. But I'm interested in seeing if he comes back.
Yeah, we also get a glimpse of Akatsuki in the real world.
Oh, right, I forgot about that, yeah.
There's a very interesting scene, and we kind of get an idea now of what her age is like and what she looks like as a regular player. And it's a little, of course it's different hair wise, but there was a nice shot of her eyes there that was really good in that scene.
Yeah, I was gonna say that the detail in that shot, just on like the eye, it was like, wow, it's totally different art style than what we've seen in, Log Horizon. I think that's how it should be. Each world should be different. I mean, unlike certain shows that don't do it, but yeah, it's interesting. Like little detail like that makes you think that, maybe eventually they will get out of this world. I wouldn't mind if they, get that far, but we'll see how far they get. But it was interesting seeing that the real world still is in there somewhere anyway.
All right, and that has been our mini talks for Log Horizon Season 2, 5 through 7. Thank you for listening. For Fosh, I'm Jero. We will see you next week.